Hello. I'd first like to recognize my co-authors, retired Professor Giles Randall, and our partners from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, Bill Van Ryswick and Ron Struss. Acetichlor is a commonly used grass herbicide in corn. Unfortunately, it's been found in some rivers in concentrations of concern in southern Minnesota. Leaching through the soil is one method or mechanism of transport that's been proposed as one of the reasons why acetichlor is being found in rivers. The other, obviously, would be runoff or surface runoff. So what are the concentrations of concern that we're dealing with? This is the Le Sueur River, which is a southern river in southern Minnesota. The aquatic standard typically is about 3.6 micrograms per liter. In this period watching the Le Sueur River was from 1999 through 2010, and you can see on a few occasions the Le Sueur River exceeded that standard, and most recently the concentrations have been quite low. So the objective of our study was quite simple, to look at the effect of acetichlor application rate on the potential of concentration of loss and concentration of acetichlor in tile drains in an agricultural setting, and also to look at its metabolites in this tile drainage water. So the schematic of the drainage facility at Waseca, these plots are about 6 meters wide by 9 meters deep. They have a perforated tile at about a 1 meter depth on one end, and then non-perforated tile that goes to a collection facility. They also have a 10-12 mil plastic perimeter around them to a depth of 1.8 meters that should minimize the lateral flow, or the potential for lateral flow. The study was cropped in a corn soybean rotation during the study period. Not all of these small 20 or 6 by 9 meter plots was part of the drainage study. Some of these are just additional plots. The drainage facility is automated, so we can collect flow-weighted samples and also monitor flow with a data logger. The tile drainage collects in these black wells at the bottom of these culverts, is pumped through a sump pump up through these water meters to measure the flow volume. And then a portion of that comes off this nipple and goes into those collection vials, so we get a flow-weighted sample. The methods, this is a Webster Canisteo clay loam soil complex. It's a poorly drained soil. The treatments, as I said, were just acetichlor rates, zero, a control, 1.47 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare and 2.45 kilograms. This is equal to 1.5 and 2.5 pints per acre of harness, a typical acetichlor herbicide. Quite simple study, just 3 treatments, 3 replications, a total of 9 individual plots. The acetichlor was applied broadcast pre-emerge in mid-May, typically during the 3-year period of the study. It was a broadcast included with 168 liters of water as a carrier. And one thing that's very important is that we covered the culverts with tarps to prevent any drift of the herbicide getting inside the culverts. The water samples that we took included acetichlor parent samples. They were flow-weighted samples. We also looked at acetichlor metabolites by taking grab samples, and those acetichlor metabolites were ethanosulfonic acid and oxalic acid. We also had base neutral grab samples, and these were taken at the same time and from the same plots as the metabolites, but really they just served as laboratory checks because some of the samples went to one lab and others went to a different lab. So basically they were just lab checks to make sure that the labs were giving the same results. The analytical procedures for the samples, they were all prepared using automated solid phase extraction methods. The parents were analyzed with GCMS, with large volume injection, and the metabolites were analyzed with LCMS. This chart shows the precipitation for the 3-year period, the tile flow, and the total number of samples collected and total number of detects that were found during the 3-year period of the study. Precip was about 668 milliliters from the March through November period. Previous to that, typically our soils would be frozen and precipitation would be in snow, but of course we wouldn't have any tile drainage once the soils freeze. Our typical precip or normal precip for this period of March through November is just under 800 millimeters. So 2008, 2009 were a little bit drier than normal. Tile flow was extraordinarily low. This 29 and 18 millimeters of tile flow is significantly below our typical, and there is no normal for tile drainage research, but typically 100 to 150 millimeters of tile drainage flow would be expected. The number of detects in 2008, number of samples taken was 65, even though we had very little amount of flow. Number of detects was 38, so we had a pretty high number, percentage of detects of those samples in 2008, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. 2009, we had so little flow, so few samples, I actually won't really discuss this data based on the time allowed. In 2010, we had a significant amount of flow or precip, incredible amount of flow, a very large number of samples, but only 13 detects. So this is a hydrograph for 2008 data. On the y-axis here on the left is the precipitation in millimeters that's graphed in the black bars. On the y-axis on the right, the red dots, is the number of the 9 plots that were flowing in each individual date, which is down here on the x-axis. So the spring of 2008 was a typical spring. We had some good precipitation events, some good tile flow. You can see a lot of the red dots. But then the rest of the growing season turned relatively dry, especially after application of the acetochlor around mid-May up until the last couple days of May and early June. June was relatively wet. We had a little bit of tile flow. But then the rest of the summer was quite dry, and there was no tile flow except for this one large rainfall event in late July. This is all the data that was taken in 2008. I know there's a lot of information in this table, but I wanted to show this is all 9 plots in the treatment ordination. But over here on the left, you see these values highlighted in red and black. These elevated concentrations all came from the same 2 tiles. And what happened is we applied our acetochlor treatments in mid-May. It was a dry period for the next 2 weeks, and we got a very strong thunderstorm that brought in some heavy winds right prior to the application. And what happened is that we actually had fine soil particles or dust that blew into the culverts, in the cracks of the culverts, and got in and contaminated some of the wells during this period. And all 4 of these first four plots are all in the same well, and these 2 in particular were the ones that we saw that had the elevated concentrations during that first year of the study. So we learned some lessons from this first year. We applied the acetochlor in the middle of May. It was very dry in that 2000 period, less than 3 millimeters, until that rainfall event in the 29th and 30th of May. Those high winds blew those fine dust particles into the culverts, likely contaminated the wells. We caulked all the cracks in the culverts, wrapped each well actually with a plastic bag to protect it so that it would not get further contamination. And then prior to the 2009 study, all the wells were cleaned and triple rinsed, and we actually took samples prior to the rinsing and after to make sure that there were no remnants left over the contamination, and the samples after the cleaning showed that there were not. The rest of the information I'm going to talk about is just going to focus on the 2010 data. We had a lot more tile flow. It was a heavy precipitation year, and there's a lot more data to discuss in this period. The tile drainage season began in mid-March in 2010. We had a pretty significant snowpack with a lot of water in that. So you don't see a lot of precip here in March, April, and early May, but you see a lot of tile flow, and that's because of that water that came from our snowpack, percolated through the tile drains, and was carried out by the tile drainage. Then when we got through the May period, we had applied our acetochlor in this period. We got a little bit of rain, and then it was relatively dry up until the month of June. And the month of June was the wettest in our 110 years of records at Minnesota. So you can see incredible amounts of tile flow and samples that we collected during this period. July continued wet, and then in September we actually had one of the record floods of all time for southern Minnesota. So this is acetochlor concentrations in samples collected for all the samples taken in 2010. Later on, I'll break it down into the post-application period. So these are separated into 3 columns. The control plot, the 1.47 kilograms of active ingredient per hectare, and the 2.45. So the total number of water samples collected for these treatments, 60, 74, 48, the number of detects, just a single detect in the control, 6 in the low rate, 6 in the high rate, for a percent detects of 2, 8, and 12. The mean concentrations are listed here, but these data, as we looked at them, are clearly not normal and failed the normality test. So for reporting, I'm going to talk about the median values, and I just did a simple Mann-Whitney rank sum test to compare these two values, the 1.47 rate versus the 2.45 rate. That test had a p-value of 0.59, so was not significant, but there is a trend going on there. The concentrations are a little bit lower, and the percent detects is a little bit greater as we go up in rate as well. When we take the same data set, but just look at post-application samples and not look at prior to application samples, now we have 47, 59, 37. Our number of detects, 1, 3, and only 4 detects. 3 and 4 detects. So very small sample sizes to do statistics on. Again, I looked at the mean concentration. The data was not normal, so we did a mean, a rank sum test. The median values are listed here, but again, our p-value would suggest that they're not significantly different. But again, the trends are still there. There's a trend towards slightly greater percent detects with the higher rate of acetachlor, and there's also a trend towards a slightly greater concentration. The acetachlor metabolites were found much more consistently. The ESA metabolite was found in all 14 of the samples that were taken in 2010, so 100% of the detects. The mean concentration and the median concentrations are listed here. Again, when we look at either a t-test or the rank sum, they're not significant, but they're at the 0.30 level. And for 14 samples, we're getting a little bit more power. The OXA metabolite, again, 12 of the 14 were detects, and the average concentration was slightly lower than the ESA, but again, still less than 1 microgram per liter, so pretty low concentrations. So to summarize, record precip of over 1,000 millimeters during this year resulted in over 500 milliliters of tile flow, which is an incredible amount, significantly more than in 2008 and 2009. The post-application detects were 2, 5, and 11% for the control, the low rate of acetachlor, and the full rate, respectively. The median acetachlor concentration of detects were not significantly different from one another between the 1.47 rate and the 2.45, but all the trends in the data suggested that rate maybe does make a difference. The trend in greater percent detects with the higher rate was there, the trend in concentrations was there, and also the trend in the metabolites being a greater concentrations was also there. The acetachlor metabolites were found and detected much more frequently than the parent compound, and at concentrations that were still less than 1 microgram per liter. I think the final statement here is probably the most important. Averaged across these treatments, the actual acetachlor loss, if you take into account percent detects and the volume of flow, was less than 0.001% of applied for an annual application. So it's a very small number. I'd like to acknowledge my technician who collected all these data over a 3-year period, never missed a day, even on weekends. Also, funding sources, the Department of Agriculture provided technical support, lab support, they ran some of the samples, and also some financial support, and Monsanto's lab at St. Louis also ran some of these samples. With that, if we have time for questions, I'll be feel free to...
Yeah, we have time for a couple questions.
Bill? Yes, the question is, are we continuing this study? And Bill and most of you in the room obviously understand the cost of taking and analyzing these samples. I believe it's in the $150 to $200 range per sample. And basically the Department of Agriculture had a fixed budget for analyzing these for this study, and we burned through that in 2010 alone. They still have several monitoring stations throughout the state and several in southern Minnesota where they collect tile water, surface waters. They continually monitor for these these for acetichlor, its metabolites, and many other pesticides aside from just this one. So our research project is complete, but monitoring for this product or this pesticide is still going on and is still quite thoroughly done. Monsanto provided in-kind support. They're part of an initiative to look and make sure that these things are not, what are the pathways of acetichlor getting into rivers and streams, because it's still a concern. But the conclusion of this data was that the movement through and into tiles and into the rivers and streams is probably not a significant pathway. And the primary pathway is probably through runoff. And I think we demonstrated in our study that even wind blown dust into surface waters could provide a pathway if it occurred right after application. Because, of course, pre-emerge products are applied on the soil surface without incorporation typically until the first rainfall.
All right, thank you.